I decided to make this sermon about Revelation. And it is a blessing to have a building to worship in, so this will be an encouragement for us that Christ, even though we are small, we are few of us here, Christ is still with us, and we are part of the church. So Christ walks among the lampstand. So in my training, I'm trying to make less notes so I can be a better to have better delivery to my message. But this is a new book for me, so bear with me. And I will start with a story. So this story goes well with what I'm about to share with you guys. So the story is, I titled it, The Forgotten Church Building. So years ago, a preacher was traveling through a rural area on a preaching trip. He has finished a gospel meeting in a nearby town. And on his way to the next destination, he noticed something unusual in a field off the side of the road. It was an old crumbling building, white paint peeling, windows broken, no sign outside. But something told him this had once been a church. So he stopped the car, walked up to the door, and sure enough, just inside the entryway, there was a small wooden plaque nailed to the wall. It read, Church of Christ, established 1937. No one has worshipped there in years. We have grown up, the roof was falling in. But that building told a story. Once upon a time, faithful brethren had gathered there. They sang, they prayed, they studied, they baptized. They shine their light in that community. And though now the world has forgotten it, God has not. That church building may have been abandoned, but the real church, the people, have once been a lampstand. And that's what I want to talk about today. So, small story. This matters because many of us worship in a small congregation. I see in congregations they just start diminishing and that's not to lose heart. So maybe we meet in a rental building, maybe we don't have a located preacher or an appointed elders, or even a full roster of teachers. And some may feel discouraged by that, but this passage will remind us of this circumstance. It doesn't determine Christ's presence. What matters is whether we are shining His light faithfully. And the Lord wants us to know something today. I walk among the lampstand. I see you. I am with you. That is our message. So Christ walked among last times. And this is just a couple of verses before verse 12. I'm starting in verse 9, so I can give you guys the background. So before we look at what John sees, we need to understand where he is, because his setting gives meaning to the message. Let me read those three verses. So I'm going to start reading Revelation 1, verses 9 through 11. So Revelation 1, verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I hear behind me a loud voice as a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. So John here, we see John is in an island, and this is located in the Aegean Sea. We don't really know how old he is. Some people have two different hypotheses for when the book of Revelation was written. One of them was it was written before the destruction of the temple. You know, that's before 70 AD. So if it's 65 around there, there's stories that tell that he was, so John was the first, he was the youngest apostle of Jesus. And he's about 20 years younger than Jesus. So it could be anywhere from 12 to 20. But let's not get caught up in the numbers. This is just maybe to let you guys know that he was alone on that island. He was already in his, he was probably elderly. So maybe 65, maybe 80s. He was already old. So he was alone and old. But he was still faithful to Jesus. And he said he was there on the Lord's Day. So John was not in a place of comfort. He was in a place of hardship. But it is in that place of hardship that God reveals the glory of his Son. That should encourage every one of us when we feel alone, when we feel cut off, when the world tries to silence us. That may be the very place where Christ chooses to reveal himself most clearly. And I was going to say something I just forgot. Sorry. So yeah, let's not lose heart. So we could be struggling, but we need to have open hearts. We need to be sincere to God and just follow what He has written in the Bible, and just we have each other for encouragement. It doesn't matter how small we are. It doesn't matter how the circumstances of our life. Yes, it could be hard. It could hurt. But we have each other, so let's look for that. So I'll start now in Revelations verse 12. So John turns around to see who is speaking to him. And the very first thing he sees is the seven golden lampstands. No candles, no crosses, no pews. They were lampstands. And these aren't just artistic decoration. They are symbol. And thankfully we don't have to guess what they mean. So in Revelation 1:20, it says the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Each lampstand represents a congregation of God's people, real churches, in real places, with real challenges, just like us. Now the lampstand image should also remind us of something very old. So the golden menorah. That was in the temple, so that was in the tabernacle, and later the temple. That menorah was carefully crafted, carefully lit, and carefully tended. It was holy, and it symbolized the light of God, of God's presence among his people. What do we learn here? First, the church is meant to shine. We are not decorations. We are light bearers in the dark world. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. And that's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Second, each lampstand is distinct, but each one is made out of gold, precious, valuable, and belonging to God. And third, the lampstands are not alone. They are placed together. So they form a group, a fellowship, just like congregations today, distinct, yet united in Christ. Here's what that means for us. Even if your congregation is small, even if you don't have a fancy building or a paid evangelist, even if you feel outnumbered in your community, you are still a lampstand. You have a role. You have value. You are seen. And as we are about to see in the next verse, Jesus himself walks among us. Now John sees the seven golden lampstands, seven churches, and in the middle of them, he sees someone. Revelation 1, verse 13 says, and in the middle of the lampstand, I saw one like the Son of Man. Let's not rush this part. He doesn't say Jesus is standing above the churches, or outside the churches, or looking down at them from heaven. No, he's in the middle of them. That's where Jesus is. This is so important. Christ walked among his churches. He's not far off. He's not indifferent. He's present, involved, and aware. And something like this is an aside for this verse. So if we take down the transformation story is still in all the gospel except for John. But John, he writes the Revelation. And here, he's describing that majesty that he saw on that day. So I'm thinking, this is an opinion, that he even though he didn't write it on the gospel, on his gospel, he still described Jesus as what he saw on the Transfiguration. And you can see that on Mark 9. It starts with the Transfiguration, and you can see the description of it. So, and notice the title used here, one like a son of man. And this is a reference for Daniel 2. So that's not just poetic language, it's a reference straight from Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, where the son of man comes on the cloud and is given all dominion, glory, and kingdom that will never be destroyed. What's being revealed to John and to us is this: Jesus is glorified in heaven and present among his churches on earth. He is not a distant ruler. He is an involved shepherd. He is not just watching the church. He's walking in it. And that changed everything. Because when your church is discouraged, Jesus is not detached. When your church is weak, Jesus is not absent. He walks among us. He knows our works. He sees our faith. And he calls us to keep shining as his lampstand. When we look around and wonder, does anyone notice that we are going through what we are going through? The answer from Revelation 1 is yes. Jesus does. He's here. And I broke this section, so the next couple of verses, I broke them in three parts. This is part one. Now just start to describe the one standing among the lampstand, and what he sees is overwhelming. He doesn't see a carpenter from Nazareth. He doesn't see the suffering servant on the cross. He sees the glorified Christ, full of majesty, power, and divine authority. Revelation 1:13 says, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and wrapped around the chest with a golden sash. This description is rich with symbolism. First, the robe. This isn't a common garment. It's a long and dignified. In the Old Testament, the king's robe worn by the priest and king. This is gold. He intercedes before us. He reigns over the kingdom. Next, the golden sash across his chest. Gold represents purity, royalty, and value. In Exodus, the high priest wore a special garment that includes gold. But here, Jesus doesn't wear it as a servant. He wears it across his chest in victory and glory. This robe and sash together declare something unmistakable. Jesus is our high priest. He has entered the heavenly most holy place to offer his own blood for our sins. Hebrews 9:12. And Jesus is our king. He wears the garment of authority and righteousness. This is not Jesus we can ignore. This is not a Jesus we can soften or reduce. This is the exalted Lord who walks among his people, dressed in divine splendor. And this is just the beginning of this vision. Let's keep reading and see what else John says about the glory, about John, about Christ's glory. So as John continues to describe the risen Christ, the imagery becomes even more intense, more awe-inspiring. Every part of Jesus' appearance proclaims something about who he is. Revelation 1:14-15. I will read. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like flame of fire. His feet were like burned burnished bronze, when he had been heated to a glow in a furnace, and his voice was like a sound of many waters. So let's break that down. His head and hair were white like wool, like the snow. That's a picture of purity, holiness, and internal wisdom. In Daniel 7, verse 9, the Ancient Days, the Ancient of Days, a title of God, has the same description. So this isn't just a detail. It is a statement. Jesus shared his divine nature. His eyes were like flame of fire. Christ sees through everything. There is no pretending, no hiding, no cover up. His gaze penetrates into the soul, into the motive, into the heart. He doesn't just see what we do. He sees why we do it. So when we do things, we should do it sincerely, because God sees everything. His feet were like burnished bronze glowing in a furnace. That shows strength and judgment. Bronze was associated with altars and purification in the temple. Jesus stands with unshakable holiness and the power to crush evil beneath his feet. His voice was like the sound of many waters. Have you ever stood by the waterfall? So I was in Niagara, so in Buffalo, in March. And if you stand by the waterfall, all you hear is that it's just overwhelming, the sound of water just pressuring you. So I wrote, it's deafening, immense, powerful. That was John Sear. The voice of Jesus is not a whisper. It's the commanding voice of heaven, mighty and majestic. Now remember this. Now remember, this is not just a vision to impress John. It's a message to the churches. Jesus is showing that he is not weak, he is not uncertain, and he is not defeated. He is glorious, he is wise, righteous, and he has full control. This is the one who walks among the lampstand. This is the one who walks among us. And part 3, John now completes his description of the glorified Christ. And what he sees next shows both the power of Jesus over the church and the power of his word over all creation. So Revelation 1:16, it reads, in his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. So in his right hand he held 7 stars. Verse 20 explains that this star represents the angels or messengers of the churches. Some interpret this as a spiritual being overseeing the congregations. Others see it as the human messengers or leaders who carry John's letters to them. Either way, here's the point. Jesus holds them. He's not disconnected from his churches. He sustains them. He strengthens them. He protects those who serve him. And he does it with absolute control. His right hand is the hand of power and authority. Then you see a sharp two-edged sword coming from his mouth. That's not literal, of course. It's symbolic. It refers to the word of Christ. So to the Bible. Because we're going to be judged. And we're going to be judged according to the Bible. Just as Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So that was Hebrews 4, verse 12. Christ's words are not casual. They cut, they judge, they divide truth from error. He speaks with absolute authority. He doesn't need weapons. His word is enough to build, correct, and conquer. Finally, his face was like the sun shining in his strength. This is overwhelming glory, like the transfiguration. So another cross-reference to Mark 9 is Matthew 17. Jesus' faces radiate pure divine brilliance. You cannot ignore him. You cannot dismiss him. He is the Son of God in full splendor. Brethren, this is the one we worship. This is the one who walks among his churches. He is not weak. He is not uncertain. He is holy, powerful, and glorified. And if he is with us, then we have everything we need. So this is John's reaction and to Jesus' comfort. Now imagine seeing everything John just described. Christ is ready in glory, eyes like fire, voice like the thunder. Holding stars, shining like the sun. What will you do? So Revelation 1:17 reads, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man." That the only proper response to see the glorified Christ, total humility. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He walked with Jesus for years. He leaned on his chest at the supper. So the last supper, he leaned on his chest. But here, he doesn't run up and hug him. He falls down as if he was dead. Why? Because this is not the suffering servant. This is the resurrected king. Jesus' holiness exposed our weakness. His glory humbles our pride. But the most beautiful part comes next. Revelation verse 18. "And he placed his right hand over me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the key of death and of Hades.'" Think about that. Jesus touched John. He doesn't leave him in terror. He says, "Do not be afraid." That's the same phrase he said so many times during his early ministry. When he calmed the storm, when he healed the sick, when he appeared after his resurrection. Why shouldn't John fear? Because Jesus is the first and the last. That's the eternal deity. No one comes before him or after him. The living one. He died, yes. But now he lives forever. The one who holds the keys. Not Rome. Not Satan. Not death. Jesus holds the keys of death and Hades. He has total control over life, over death, and over judgment. What does all this mean for us? It means that Christ is not only glorious, but he's gracious. He doesn't use his power to crush us. He uses it to comfort us. He doesn't forget us in our fears. He meets us in it. If you've been afraid, if you've been discouraged, remember, the same Christ who walks among the churches also reaches out his hand and says, "Do not be afraid." So now that we walk through on John's vision of Christ's revelation, I will pause and ask, what is the Holy Spirit teaching us as a congregation through this revelation? So this isn't just a vision to admire. It is a message to apply. And I will draw a couple of lessons from it. First, Jesus walks among the church, even when they are struggling. The lampstands, they weren't perfect. Some were lukewarm, some were compromised, some were persecuted. But Jesus still walked among them. That means your congregation doesn't have to be large, doesn't have to be rich or famous to matter to Christ. If it belongs to him, he is present. Second, he knows what we're going through. In Revelation 2:2, so that's the next chapter, just in case. Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, "I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance." So he sees your efforts. He knows your labor. he doesn't miss a thing. Not a sermon preached, not a prayer offered, not a tear shed. So when we come here together, let's remember that. Let's not just check out boxes like, okay, I come to church and just leave and do whatever. Just think of that. Third, he's glorified. He's powerful and yet personal. This is what makes our Lord so unique. He holds the star in his hand, yet lays that same hand on John to say, do not be afraid. He shines like the sun, yet walks gently amongst the churches. And fourth, every congregation matters to him, small or large, weak or strong. In Revelation, Jesus doesn't only address the successful churches. He addressed all seven, including the one that were barely hanging on. And something about seven, just when it says seven, he's talking about all. So some numbers sometimes are just numbers. So don't be specific on it. Right here he's talking to his church, to all local churches. So every congregation matters to him. He doesn't measure them by attendance. He measures them by faithfulness. So don't ever say, we're too small to matter. If you are a lampstand, Christ is with you. You are never alone. We are always seen, and we are deeply valued, not because of our size or status, but because we belong to the one who walks among the lampstands. So let that comfort us. And also let that challenge us. Are we reflecting his glory? Are we listening to his voice? Are we holding fast to the one who held us? Let's take everything we heard, everything John saw, and bring it home to where we are right now. What does this vision of Jesus mean for us today? I want to give you four powerful takeaways that apply to our life. So when we feel alone, Christ is present. Your circumstances may make you feel abandoned, but John was alone at Patmos, and yet Christ was there. He is present among the lampstands. He is present in the Lord's Day. He is present in our worship, even when attendance is low or energy is down. In Matthew 28, verse 20, says, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Even to the end of the age. When we feel powerless, Christ is reigning. Sometimes we feel weak, like the world is winning, like evil is overwhelming. But the Jesus John saw was glorious, not defeated. He had the key of death and Hades. He holds the star in his hands. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Number three, when we feel discouraged, Christ strengthens. John felt like a dead man, but Jesus reached out and touched him. That's grace. That's comfort. That's what Jesus does for his people. If your heart feels heavy, he's not just watching, he's strengthening. And lastly, when we fear the future, Christ holds the keys. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't always know who will be with us or what our challenges will be if we are going to be here next week to worship. But this is for sure what we know. Jesus holds the key. He has overcome death. He has authority. He controls eternity. In Revelation 1:18 says, I am alive forevermore. So be faithful. Keep your lantern burning. Stay close to the one who walks among us. If we belong to him, we will never be forgotten. And this section is the invitation. So after everything we've seen from Revelation 1, The vision leaves us with a question, not just about what John saw, but about what we will do. The Lord Jesus walked among his churches. He is glorified. He is present. He is powerful. And he is calling his people to respond. So I ask today, do you belong to the church Jesus walked among? Not a denomination, not a man-made institution, but the church that was purchased by his blood, built by his authority, and identified as his word. Are you walking in the light or hiding in fear or compromise? A lampstand is meant to shine. It cannot shine if it's dimmed by sin, if it's neglected, or if it's ashamed. Christ wants his church to stand firm, bright and faithful, because he is in our midst. Will you trust the one who face shining like the sun? He is not just calling you to admire him. He is calling you to follow him. And he has given us the path to do so. So according to God's word, we must hear the gospel. Faith comes back from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. And we hear, we must believe in Jesus. So unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 8:24. We must repent of our sins. We will turn away. So Luke 13:3 says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And you must confess Jesus as his Lord. In Romans 10:9-10 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we also must be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. In Acts 2:32 and Mark 16:16, it says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. And we must live faithfully unto death. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Jesus is among us today. He's walking amongst his lampstand. Are you ready to obey the gospel? Or if you need prayers to keep your lampstand burning bright, now is the time. Let us help you. Let us pray with you. Let us walk together in the light. If you're ready to respond right now, please come forward. After we stand and sing the invitation song. 5:44.